you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Moby Dick and Mark Grody with the Bears Report. Kind enough to move it up an hour for Dave Wanstead at 5. Another newsworthy day in Bears land. How are you, Mark?
I am doing well. I guess the newsy portion, Parko, would be the fact that Caleb Williams will play Saturday in Buffalo. Matt Eberflus announcing that early on during his press conference with us today that he's going to play, probably not a whole lot. The starters that are healthy, as Matt Eberflus put it, will be playing in that game. And I gotta believe that there's going to be a bunch of guys, especially on defense, that are going to be sitting this game out. I mean, I can't imagine Kyler Gordon, who has missed basically the last 2 weeks. I can't imagine that he's going to play. I mean, Tyreek Stevenson has been out. Sweaty, Montez Sweat has been out as well. Jaquan Brisker. So it could be a pretty light load on the defensive side of the ball. We all know about the problems with the Bears' offensive line. I guess, namely, Nate Davis, who was not practicing again today. But other than that, the rest of those, the offensive line was out there participating fully today, including Darnell Wright. So that's pretty important. I mean, I could live with one starter being down or out, but Caleb Williams is going to play, guys.
So the downgrade to week to week, what does that mean to you as a beat guy when you hear that about Nate Davis now week to week?
It just adds more confusion to the whole Nate Davis conundrum or mystery, like where we never really know what's happening, and we're not entitled to the specific injury that Nate Davis has. And it just seems like every day there is something new either said about Nate Davis in terms of his status, with the word that I've used way too much lately, and that's ambiguity when it comes to what the coaches are saying about Nate Davis and his availability. And is there competition? And is there other guys that have overtaken him at this point? So, you know, and Speaks, he's out there too. Like, he was not in full pads, but he's off to the side. He's very visible, going through exercises.
You could see him.
Well, yeah.
I want to
make it clear to people that it's not like he's not here. And I think that's what makes it even more frustrating.
Yeah, the most important ability is visibility.
That's what they always say.
Yeah, in his case, but the point is of me making that clear is that he's here and he looks fine, and then he just keeps being injured, and apparently it got worse where he left. I was out here Sunday when he left the practice. Don't know what it was. Soft tissue seems to be the safe word for Matt Eberflus when it comes to these injuries. Soft tissue or strain or in pain. So I don't know what's going on with that Nate Davis. I still don't know.
Okay.
He is not going to play on Saturday.
Well, sure, he's week to week. Would you guys agree that week to week is roughly 7 times worse than day to day?
Yes, approximately.
I would say so.
Okay. Is it a work week to week?
That's a good question.
Yeah, let me actually start with it, because I thought that the audio was really funny from Matt Eberflus today. Chris Emma got around to asking about, somebody's always got to take responsibility for asking about Nate Davis out here speaks. But listen to how like Flus answered the question about Nate Davis. Here is Matt Eberflus.
Matt, it looked like Nate Davis was ramping up a couple days ago. He hasn't practiced since. Did he suffer a setback?
Who's that?
Nate Davis.
Yeah, he came back. We had him back in there, right? It was individual, and that was some reps, and then he felt it again, you know? So he's dealing with some soft tissue stuff, and so we had to bring him back down and take him out. So, again, we'll start that process over, and we'll see where it goes.
I'm sorry, do you see this more like a week-to-week deal now instead of day-to-day, or what's kind of the track?
Yeah, I think it's listed week-to-week. You know, we'll see where it goes, but, again, we're always checking it up on him day-to-day.
Oh, good.
Who's hurting? What'd you say?
Week to week and day to day.
God, this situation sucks.
Day to time, I suppose, week to week.
Right? I mean, like, you got the coach trying to talk his way around it and still send a message. You got the GM who knows full well that Nate Davis was 100%er. Like, we've known that this is what this guy is. So yeah, and you got the OC saying, yeah, it's still his job, but I don't know, man. It's getting murkier. That's for damn sure.
I mean, they're listing guys. They're telling us about how great the depth is and that there's competition everywhere. And, you know, that's this week. Last week it was, yeah, even if he's, as long as he's healthy, per Shane Waldron, he's the starter. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. So,
man, it looked like Nate Davis was ramping up a couple days ago. He hasn't practiced since. Did he suffer a setback?
Who's that?
Nate Davis.
I love that.
You'd think that he knows who Emma's talking about because he's so visible. You know?
Yeah, right. You can see him.
Yeah. That's right. He's visible. Yes, I broke that news today.
Texter says an invisible guard might have its advantages.
That's a great idea.
That is so true.
I've been blocked by something. I don't know what.
What position would be most valuable to be invisible? Got to be receiver, right?
But then the quarterback needs to see him, though. You know, or it's trust, or like you're talking about trusting on a timing round.
Yeah, that's true.
Really can't see the guy.
But the invisible quarterback, you just run to the ball.
Obvious answer. Running back.
I think it's part of the new rules next year, actually. Yeah. We'll get one invisible player. This year it's all about the special teams. Next year it's the invisible guy. Next year.
Yeah. Running back, you'd still see the ball because the ball is not invisible. You just see a ball floating in the air as running back does a cutback that nobody else can see.
Tanner, are you disgusted?
Running back, the quarterback couldn't see him either. So you take the pitch plays and the end arounds out of the playbook immediately. It's got to be linebacker, right?
You're not scoring points for that.
Yeah, but you're generating turnovers.
Impossible to block the invisible guy. And then, you don't need the ball.
You can go right up to the line.
No, that's a good point. It's got to be linebacker.
Grody, I'm sorry. We're going to skip the rest of your tape. This is way too important a topic to explore.
I mean, like, the only thing better than an invisible guy, and I've been talking about this a lot, is a one-arm guy. So you get an invisible guy, one-arm guy.
Talking about that for years.
That's my dream, man.
Wow.
All right, pencil that in for Wani, please. What position would be most valuable to have an invisible player?
Or a one-arm guy. Like, what position could be played with one arm?
Kicker.
Kicker's a good call.
Even if he's got that little gimmick. You know, can you play with that little gimmick?
Okay.
Oh, man, you're going to miss this, Parco. Hey, carry on, though.
Hey, what is the matter with what you're saying here? Can we please get back to Caleb Williams? Please.
Absolutely.
Jerk.
I met Eberflus. Obviously, the follow-up after wondering if Caleb is going to play. Yes, he's going to play. So what are the expectations, Sir Eberflus, for him in this game?
Just more what we see now, where he is in terms of the progress. You know, and this is his first time in live action. He's been getting a lot of good reps with our one defense, so I think it'll feel similar to him. But I really feel that when it's live there in the pocket, to be able to maneuver in the pocket, ride the pocket, escape either on the outside, B-gaps, all those things, and be able to deliver the ball, keep your eyes downfield. I mean, really just the operation of it, getting in and out of the huddle, you know, no pre-snap penalties, just clean operation.
I wasn't listening.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
He wants a clean operation. You know, I got to tell you, like, I'd understand if you tune some of that out because we've heard all of that previously with our previous, like the I am done hearing about the operation with quarterbacks getting in and out of the huddle and lining the guys up. I am just begging to get beyond that, but I guess all that stuff is necessary.
It's especially for the first time, man. First action coming up right here. This is it. It's the first time we get to see him. Like, not that he's going to be phased by, you know, the bright lights of the thing or the crowd or anything like that, but I hope the cadence is loud enough on a field in a mildly hostile preseason territory. It matters for today and this week.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, I think one of the really good things, it's going to be a true test for Caleb Williams and the offensive line of Buffalo because their fans are still crazy during preseason games, kind of like Bears fans. They're going to be out there. They're going to be loud. It's not going to be quite what a regular season game is, but they will get tested, so that's a good thing.
Look, the big story has been Caleb and the offense struggling in recent days, and I'm fine with it because it's practice. This is what's supposed to happen, and the Bears defense is good and has brought everybody back. But how does the Flus feel about how Caleb's doing?
Yeah, I think Matt Eberflus, it sounds like, and he's been pretty good at, you know, painting a positive picture. He thinks that Caleb Williams is right on target right now.
I would say that he's right where he needs to be right now. He's having some good days, some good periods, and then some other ones that, you know, he's learning from adversity, you know, and a setback. And I told him to just lean into that. So when you have a setback or have adversity, don't shy away from it. Lean into it. And then learn from it and then get better from it. You know, because a lot of people want to hide and shrink away from adversity. That's not what we do. We lean into it and get better from it, invest our time, grow and improve. And that's what he's been doing. And he's got some moments out there today that he's going to need to do that in today's practice. And I'm sure he's going to have some in the game. So it's, again, the exposure and experience that we can give him, you know, throughout the course of this camp, the reps in preseason, the reps with the joint practice next week, all those are very valuable.
Can you ask Flus something, a Hard Knocks-related follow-up that came up last segment, Mark Grody?
Sure.
Did he line up behind Caleb before Nick Saban suggested it in Hard Knocks? Is that something, did he take that advice or not?
That's a good question. I did think it was very good producing in Hard Knocks when they had Saban talking about that and then immediately go to Flus at the practice standing behind the quarterback for the good vantage point.
Right, but we don't know if that's new or not.
I'll find out from the Flus. By the way, I did ask Matt Eberflus about Hard Knocks, and he just really gave a very professional "we're moving on" answer. He didn't really want to play today when it came to, you know, I asked him like what was it like kind of being one of the stars of Hard Knocks, and he took it very seriously, like, hey, we're just out here trying to play hard and we're moving on and stuff. So it's the lack of discussion about Hard Knocks has been noticeable, and I think it's like, I don't know, mandated or just kind of like, hey guys, look, we got to keep on working. We understand that the camera's out here, but we're not going to make a big deal out of Hard Knocks because nobody has.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know if it's mandated. If they explicitly said, guys, don't talk about it.
Well, I don't know if it's mandated, but I think that they probably drilled it into them that, look, we're not going to make a big deal. Let's remain professional. We got a lot of work to do still. That's just my guess, but maybe it was mandated.
Let's get to your guy, Tevin.
Yeah, Tevin was great today, and one of the big things that Caleb Williams is working on is blitz recognition. We know the defensive line has broken through a ton. They have sacked Caleb Williams a lot during this preseason, and I thought Tevin Jenkins gave a really good answer on his part and the offensive line's part in helping Caleb Williams with blitz recognition.
For our offensive line, it's about our killed words, like we have fire calls, like alert danger, certain sides and everything. So if we're like 3rd and 15, it's cover 4, and you see no stat, like it's just that the wide receivers are pressed out over there, and it's only one middle linebacker over here, and DN's looking a little like light on his feet. You say, hey, light one, we got pressure. All that pressure to the right, most likely. And then you turn around and say, light one, go over there. He was getting us to a 4-man slot that way, helping with the pressure recognition, you know. It's a lot of things that we can help, like, put that, like, I don't want to say put an idea in his head, but, like, get him more acknowledged to, like, all right, they see something over here that doesn't look threatening, but over here it looks like a problem. Like, try to, like, make sure he can see what we see as well.
God, I hope that dude plays well, stays healthy, and gets a new contract. It's like they don't. Who's the core in the middle of that offensive line? You know, it's
they don't have one.
And the way he's thinking about it, the way he's talking about it in terms of helping the quarterback and the maturity that's been growing within him. I hope that dude has a great year.
Well, yeah, and we've seen the whole story, right? I mean, drafted to be a tackle, different regime, comes in under this organization, think he's going to be off the team entirely, change position a couple of times, injuries, not staying on the field, hasn't put 17 games together, says he wants to be here. They told him, we're not talking contract with you until the end, so it's a clear prove-it year. He hasn't made that generational money yet. So, yeah, and just likable dude.
Absolutely.
Just a likable guy. And a good player when healthy. He's a good guard when healthy, especially in the run game.
At a spot on this team where they don't really have a leader. They don't really have a dude right now. I mean, Ryan Bates.
Oh, you're talking interior. I think Darnell Wright looks like he's going to be excellent.
But interior of that line, reading stuff from that interior.
Yeah. No, he absolutely could be that spot. What else, Grody?
Yeah, one more thing from Tevin Jenkins, and we alluded to this a little bit, what the crowd is going to be like in Buffalo, but he was asked how much does it matter knowing who the center will be for the Bears this year?
It does matter, like, quite a bit, because especially going to Buffalo, so I heard their games are pretty loud for preseason games as well. Their fans are they're Mesa fans. Learning that silent cadence with that center's head bob, head turns, and all that stuff is very crucial, not only for guards but especially for tackles, because they got to get out. And I'm not sure if Von Miller's playing, but like fly like their ones are out there, and they got the best pass rushers. They're jetting up the edge, and they got to time up the center's head. It's going to be a big difference.
I mean, I think it's. I'm going to go ahead and agree with him. It matters who the center is.
It does matter.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and agree.
It is an important thing.
Yeah.
And for whatever it's worth, he said he raved about both of the centers, Ryan Bates and Coleman Shelton. And again, today it was Coleman Shelton at center. Although Ryan Bates did leave practice injured today, I don't think he came back. So that could be a real problem too.
All right, and so Mercedes Lewis also is one of the guys who's made available to you. Yeah, he knows things. He's an old head.
Yeah, 40 years old, Mercedes Lewis, and he said that Caleb Williams, Danny, has the it factor.
You can see if somebody has it, like just watching him move around, and just his fundamentals, his mechanics, certain throws that he makes, and it looks easy. The off-platform stuff, like he's just different. He has it, and again, it's just going to be up to us to make sure that we're doing everything in our power to make sure it's easy for him so he can just go out there and create and do his thing. But mentally, he's on another level. And so your body is just going to follow what your mind tells it.
How do you think the protection has been? False start penalties and there's been injuries. Is that a concern at all?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you want to be healthy going into the season. And injuries are a part of it. Once you start camp, the injury rate is 100% anyway, so you know that kind of going into it. And as far as the false starts, again, it's about the gelling and you know, getting on the same page. And the more reps we have at it, the better we'll be.
Man, I don't know. I don't know how you can hear that guy talking Caleb and not get excited. That's a 41-year-old dude who knows the NFL.
Yeah, I'll say the same thing that I always say is that I just remember doing this show with you when Jimmy Graham talked about Mitch Trubisky and was talking about Drew Brees. So, you know, he's going to praise his own guy, but I'm just so impressed by Mercedes Lewis. Like, he just seems to still, like, love football so much that he cares about training camp.
Yeah, you see what he said that. Reps, I need the work.
And just like, yeah, man, there's no Roger Clemens to his game of like, I'm just going to skip it all. And by the way, I know he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer like Roger Clemens should be and all of those things. But still, just the idea of, yeah, man, I just love football so much that I'm thrilled to be going out and doing practices in 80 degrees.
Another baseball reference from Danny.
Yeah, well,
that's Danny's thing. That's what he does.
That's what he does.
I will say that one other thing that I was very impressed with Mercedes Lewis, not just that he's 40 and he's out there and he wants to be in training camp. And this final cut that I'm going to play for you guys, he goes third person with a nickname. So follow along. That's pretty intense, I think. Talking about Caleb Williams' communication when things go wrong. Here's Mercedes.
He'll come find you on the sideline and be like, yo, big dog, what'd you see there? Or Cole, what'd you see? Or DJ, how do you think we could have ran that route or made this better? Like, he wants it. You know, he's not a guy that's like, oh, throw a pass, go back, on to the next one. Like, it's more so like, you know, after a certain period, it's like, okay, how can we get better going into the next period? And you keep doing that, you stack those up, you know, you be a good player by the end of it. I'm pretty sure I speak for the whole team. He's impressive, and he's a guy that listens more than he speaks. So he's learning at a really fast rate. All the praise is from me.
Man. The big dog has spoken.
Big dog. Is Eagle still up there, by the way? Eagle! Speaking of nicknames.
Who was the Eagle? You got me on that one. Speaks, who's the Eagle nickname? I forget.
It was the offensive lineman who got hurt from Hard Knocks.
Oh, that guy.
Guy who took off his pants.
Right. Pantsless. The pantsless guy. One-armed guy. Pantsless guy. Yeah.
Benedette.
Right.
Yeah.
I have not seen old Benedette out here.
Okay.
No.
I just like that. I like that we got Eberflus nicknames on Hard Knocks. It made me happy.
We got the Rome confirmation.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
Rome is Rome.
His name is too cool. Yeah.
Your name is too cool. Rome is Rome.
Rome is Rome.
That's
correct. About time. Yeah. He was right about that, too.
He is right about that. That's honestly his best nickname.
Yes. Rome Odunze.
No.
Kick-ass name.
Governor, I think, is his best one because he named George Ryan that.
Right? Hi, it's Dave. It's Dave Kerner. Hi, I'm in Washington, D.C.
Governor.
Dated reference. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No, you're playing. You're playing to your base.
I know. I am playing to my base.
Governor. Let's go, Mang.
Let's go, Mang.
Mang.
Let's go, Governor Mang.
Oh, man.
We got Bears Nuggets, Scrody.
Yeah, a few things. Speaking of the cool named Rome Odunze, who's back on punts again. I'm starting to think this thing is for real, man. Mm. Like when doing a 11-on-11 punt, hey, it's time to punt. Rome Odunze is back, and that has been pretty constant. It's time to say Tyler Scott has had a really good camp for the Bears today. He's catching it. It's mostly on the Bajent line, but he's catching everything. And he did look good in camp last year, so I'm not going to go overboard, but he's looked really good. And the intercepted, Caleb Williams was intercepted twice today, so give credit to Elijah Hicks and Jalen Jones on those. And for the second straight Matt Eberflus camp, the Reverend Jesse Jackson was out here at the hall today.
Yeah, Flus was late talking to you guys because he was talking to
That's
Jesse.
That's right. Yeah, a heartfelt apology to us because he was talking to the Reverend.
So, hey, one last question, Groats. I wasn't sure if you'd get to it.
Tell you what, make it two. Make it two. Go ahead, Speaks.
Yeah. No, make it one.
Velus Jones.
You had enough of my crap, Parkins?
Or what?
Look, Groats, yeah.
sorry, Spiegel.
Is Velus Jones really, truly competing with a running back for a final spot? Because like I asked Pat Manley off the air the question I threw out on the air the other day about whether he's working out with the running backs in part to get him ready for the new kickoff rules, because those are a little bit more like running plays than kickoffs used to be. Mm. And Pat did not think that was the case, seems to think he is competing for a roster spot. So maybe instead of like him versus Colin Johnson on the bottom of the roster, it's going to come down to Velus versus Khalil Herbert on the roster, something like that.
I do think he's probably competing for a roster spot, but I don't think he's competing for an actual running back position. I'd be shocked about that. I don't think we're going to have a game this year where Velus Jones Jr. has 12 carries and 66 yards. That's not going to happen. I just think that they have a player who is very affordable in his third year. They did draft him in the third round. He does have outstanding raw skills in terms of his speed. So they're like, okay, what can we possibly do with this guy? But I would be shocked if he was actually a feature running back in a year in which the Bears are expected to win.
All right, good stuff, Grody. Thank you, sir.
Take care, guys. Bears.
That is our Bears reporter, Mark Grody.
Would you like a short impromptu list of great wide receivers who returned punts as rookies?
Yeah, I would. And I know you want to do it on the other side?
Sure, we can.
Yeah, and I know you had a White Sox managerial thing to get to. We got
do.
Dave Wanstead. Caleb Williams spoke today to Kay Adams. So we got a lot more to do here. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station. The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I'm sorry about this afternoon.
Please, everyone be quiet.
Afternoons on the Score.
Hey, fellas, real quick, let's go to our list. Let's see how we did.
Ooh, let's go.
All right, I read this before the game today, right? This list.
All right, they're lining up to hear the list that you teased of rookie wide receivers as punt returners.
Yeah, these are great wide receivers who, as rookies, returned a lot of punts. Because it used to be commonplace, you know?
So I think of DeSean Jackson. Is he on the list? Did he not do it as a rookie?
He probably did.
Oh, okay.
I don't have him on this particular list.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Yeah, all no, right. You're
sorry.
Good.
Sorry. God, well, you did the list. My bad.
Well, I just, you know, I mean, Amari Cooper returned punts as a rookie and then did not after that.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Odell Beckham Jr. was the top receiver and punt returner and then only returned two punts in his second year. So went away from that. So you can find guys, and Brandon Cooks was a big punt returner as a rookie with New Orleans and then did not. And then there's some that really never advanced to great wide receivers.
Yeah, and Amari Cooper was the fourth overall pick, so that's higher than Rome was picked ninth.
Cordarrelle Patterson and Tavon Austin, but they never really evolved past that. I forgot this one. Demaryius Thomas was a punt returner as a rookie with the Denver Broncos. Dez Bryant returned 42 punts over his first three seasons as a Cowboy and scored two punt return touchdowns in his rookie year, but then stopped doing it. That's all I got, but it's just an example. It's indicative of even in recent history, you know, it's not, don't freak out if your rookie wide receiver, your number nine overall pick, is returning punts. If he can do it, it's a valuable way to get him into your game and use him.
Well, and I'm thinking about the criticism that Jaxon Smith-Njigba seemed to have of Shane Waldron when he was drafted to a team that had Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, that he didn't feel terribly involved in the Seahawks offense. There's a real possibility, even with Roma Dunze and Caleb having a relationship and chemistry.
Good luck to y'all.
Yeah, exactly. That with Swift and Komet and Allen and DJ, that there's only one football out there.
Yeah.
Hey, this is a way to get, I don't know, 25 extra touches for Roma Dunze over the course of the year?
Yep, exactly. Get him excited about that and have an opportunity for him to be a weapon on those plays. And that'd be fun to have that excitement as a fan, too. Like, here's Rome.
Yeah, especially if he shows an ability. I mean, I know he did in college, but an ability to be an explosive player with it at the next level. You know, it depends how good he is for me as a receiver. Because rookie receivers, like rookie quarterbacks, can produce right away. They can. And so the injury risk for the pretty minimal upside of punt return, if he is ready to be a 65 catch, 900 yards, 7 touchdown, you know, like if he's ready to be that right away, I don't want him on punt returns. But sometimes teams will send out a guy just to catch the ball.
Right, right, exactly.
Hey, Cooper Kupp, just go fair catch it.
Sure.
Just go fair catch it and then get our offense back on the field.
All right, now this is fun. Now I'm looking at the most punt return yards by a rookie in NFL history. You know? And so this is everybody.
This is another list.
Yeah, Devin Hester is at number 6 on this list. I'm looking for, you know, interesting wide receivers. How about Tyreek Hill at number 8? Huge punt return season as a rookie.
Yeah.
For Tyreek Hill.
Who else we got? We got
Lynn Swan.
He was good.
Yeah. Looking for big-time wide receivers who stopped doing it. Well, Wes Welker. It's interesting. Wes Welker, big-time punt returner for a while.
Yep.
And then, just some fun names, really. Patrick Peterson. Lewis Lips. Lewis Lips is on this list.
That is a fun name.
Dave Meggett is on this
great
list.
Great returner.
He's on another list, too, which is guys who did just absolutely awful things after football. Dave Meggett. Terrible, terrible.
I don't remember his controversy.
Yeah, just
it was a bad one.
Horrendous and awful things.
Okay.
Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher.
The coach?
Guppy. Guppy, as a rookie in 1981 with the Bears, had a big punt return year.
Okay.
You're done with me now.
I am a little done with you. Yeah. I am mildly done.
I know. You're done with me. You've been done with me for a while.
No, stop.
You said it the other day.
Stop.
You said,
yeah. I know what I said.
All right. Involved in several legal problems, David Meggett, during and after his playing career, Meggett was convicted in 2010 on burglary and criminal sexual conduct charges.
Oof.
He's currently serving.
That's one of the bad ones.
Yeah, that is one of the bad ones.
Currently serving a 30-year prison sentence at Lieber Correctional Institution in South Carolina.
Oof.
Yeah, it is one of the bad ones. So, Dave Meggett, glad he came up.
Yeah, glad you brought him up.
Yeah, you know.
Glad you decided to tease punter list or punt returner list.
You liked it.
I did like it. Well, more so than your managerial White Sox whatever. I mean, you said earlier, you're like, the White Sox manager doesn't matter. So it's hard for me to get behind it. I know it's the news of the day, but it is a weird thing to hire an interim manager and say that he can't get the job full time.
Yeah, they flat out said.
That is an interesting, that's going to reduce the attractiveness of the job.
Think maybe that's why Charlie Montoyo didn't take that job?
Hey, do you want to manage the worst team in baseball history?
No.
We're going to give you no raise, and you can't get the job after the year.
Uh-huh.
That's a tough sell.
Would you like to hang around and be a manager? And you can put this on your resume. And Charlie probably thought about it and said, yeah, no.
Got another guy on the other line about some white walls.
Sure. Go do something else. And,
yeah.
And Grady Sizemore then becomes the interim manager. And there he is without really a chance to be in the pool. I'll get in the pool with you. If that's really true. I don't know if it's really true, because early on in the press conference, Chris Getz said they're focused on candidates who are outside the organization and in uniform. But then later on, he said that they'd be open to anyone, because outside the organization and in uniform does not hold true for Terry Francona and Joe Maddon and David Ross and A.J. Pruszynski and Ozzie Guillen and all those guys. And maybe they're fine with all those guys not being in the pool, but I don't know why you would do that. Wouldn't you talk to David Ross? Would you talk to David Ross, who's good with young players?
I'd like to have him on the show. I'd definitely talk to him. Oh, you mean for the White Sox job?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. I would. Listen, man, I don't think it matters that much, but experience, you go from hard-nosed defensive coach to young players coach who's an offensive guy. Like, you kind of, like, these guys goes back and forth.
Yeah.
It feels like after the failed Pedro Grifol experience, managerial experience would be a pretty high criteria for me.
Yeah, you'd think. It's just, you know, here's why it just doesn't feel that important to me. Because I don't know how much closer this organization is going to be by the end of 2025 to being anything, being anywhere. I don't see the bats. I don't see the offensive players in this organization at the minor league level that are going to come up and matter. And
well, I mean, you heard Getz say top 10 farm system, and some people's minds even better.
Yeah. And
he's going to add to it when he trades Crochet.
A lot of the arms. There are a lot of arms there. And yeah, maybe he'll add to it if he trades Crochet.
I mean, he will trade Crochet.
But they have so little offensively in terms of position players. And this, the manager usually gets what? A 2-year chance to build a culture and a communication atmosphere. It feels like this is a job that is getting hired to be fired when they're good enough. And I don't know who of consequence takes that job. I don't think there's a chance in hell that their top target, Skip Schumacher, has no other opportunities that seem more attractive to him than the White Sox.
But even if they hire him and he's widely respected and he chooses the job, it still shouldn't be overly celebrated because it's still just a manager of an awful baseball team and a bad organization.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I mean, like, if you're really going to find somebody and make him the godhead of your development system, okay, but you're probably not going to do that. You're just going to get somebody you think is a good leader, and there's all sorts of aspects to talk about with that. But, you know, it's just not a high enough role to be freaked out about the possibility of, we got to get somebody from outside. We got to get somebody from outside. General manager is what they should have from outside, or president of baseball operations if they made it exist. That's where it should be, somebody from outside. But last year, that position was available. Those positions were available, and they hired a guy from inside before August was over. They hired him before August was over.
Well, you know, I was thinking about it. Jerry said he needed to act fast because he didn't want to waste a year.
Yep.
This feels like a pretty wasted year to me.
It feels like a largely wasted year. So when Chris Getz gives lip service to somebody outside the organization, he's missing the point, or trying to obfuscate the point that they didn't do it last year when they should have, and this matters less than anything.
Chris Getz will be on with Mully and Haw tomorrow at 7:30.
When he says uniform, did he specify what kind? Like the guy in
prison uniform?
The goofy suit at Disney, or the my local auto
question.
Parts man.
How
sure.
About,
a Marine.
How about Bear Man? Is that
in
uniform?
A uniform.
That's
that
a
is
uniform.
A uniform
of sorts.
Yeah.
He loves a man in a uniform.
He just said in a uniform.
Whatever happened to Sox Man? You guys remember, Shane, you remember
yeah,
Sox
I remember,
Man?
He had the socks coming off of like that the Batman ears
yeah,
on his head.
Yeah, I don't see him at games anymore. I hope he's okay.
He's
I mean,
not.
Maybe he quit the team.
None of us are.
Should have. Yeah. I'm right there with you, Sox Man.
Is he related to Bear Man? They have the same last name.
Certainly colleagues.
Yeah, they are colleagues.
They're more colleagues than relatives, I think. Uh-huh. Dave wants that at 5 o'clock we'll talk Bears and invisible football players. Our guy, Dog, had a hell of a week. Next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Chris, Mad Dog, Russo.
You guys are the best. The both of you.
Afternoons on The Score.
Would you go see Daredevil?
Which one is that now?
That's Ben Affleck's new movie about the guy who's a blind crime fighter who turns into Daredevil.
True story.
I don't know, every single time it's so good. Mad Dog, you know, guy gives a lot of opinions. Guy's nickname is Mad Dog. He's going to be out there. He's going to say some things. He's
43 years.
Radio Hall of Famer. He's having this renaissance on First Take. Just re-signed at Sirius. Got his own channel.
Loves our work.
Loves our work.
Big fan of our Mike and the Mad Dog stuff.
Absolutely. So, you know, he's had some things this week. Like, you know, Billy Bean, tragic story, passed away from cancer.
The 60-year-old former ball player, openly gay and an advocate and an administrative person within Major League Baseball.
Or?
Wow. Was he? The word that we're getting right now is that the general manager of the A's, Billy Bean, may have passed away. Wow. Was he ill? Wasn't aware of this. I mean, he's not that old. Jeez, was it sudden? We'll see if we can get some information. Wow, that is a terrible story. With Billy Bean of the A's, I don't know anything about it. This is the first I've heard. You know, he's an historic general manager on a team that, you know, he built very good teams with not a lot to work with financially. The movie, of course, with Brad Pitt, he's probably no more than 62 or 3. 60. Wow.
No.
Leukemia.
No.
That's a terrible story. So Billy Bean of the A's. Now, had he taken a leave of absence in the last whatever it might be? I didn't even know. I'm sure his cohorts in the sport knew. You know, he's very close to Cashman, so I'm sure Brian knew. I didn't know if anybody in baseball knew. I didn't hear any of this, and I'm on the baseball channel every day, or thereabouts. So that's a terrible story of Billy Bean.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Let me read it to you.
Can someone help him out, please?
Billy fought an heroic year-long battle with acute leukemia. That's the wrong Billy Beane.
No, that's the right one.
That's not the Billy Beane from the A's. Last 10 years, Billy worked passionately and tirelessly with MLB and all 30 clubs, focusing on player education. He played a 10-year playing career with six teams. That's the different Billy Beane. Still a terrible story.
That's the wrong Billy Beane. No, you had the wrong Billy Beane. For the record, that's the correct one that passed away tragically. The other one was the wrong one. That's the one that you had.
His producers, man. Someone help him
out.
We
were just talking about that. Are they awful or awesome?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, God. If they knew?
Yes. Yes, they might be both.
Have you ever let us go for a while knowing that we were wrong on something?
Ridiculous question.
Yeah, all the time.
Fight Club.
Yeah, all the time.
Rest in peace, Louis Anderson.
I know. Danny killed the wrong Louis Anderson.
But the thing is... This is the thing about Mad Dog.
Got to be another one.
He just keeps going. Today, the target, Jerry Reinsdorf.
I've been on the radio for 43 years. You think I've won more than six rating books? Go look it up. Enough already. You gotta do better than this. And remember, I know he won six championships with the Bulls. He can thank Rod Thorne for that, because Thorne drafted Jordan because Portland drafted Sam Bowie before that. And if it wasn't for Thorne, before he owned the team, they never would have won anything. Because Jordan's the reason they won the six. Not because of Jerry Krause, because of Jordan and Thorne, who drafted Jordan. Simple as that. So if you look at it from that standpoint, you can make an argument the last 80-something years, they've done nothing combined for Jerry. I mean, Jerry, I don't want to hear from Chris Getz at 12:30. I'm not interested. Because you are the owner. You own the team. You have not had a lot of success. I understand you won a championship. Hallelujah. I understand that. But 40-something years with six postseasons is not good enough. With no playoff series wins in any of the years except the year you won it. How about you standing up there today and say, you know what? This is embarrassing. We can't have a professional baseball team that's not an expansion team in this market winning 28 games. That is all there is to it. With a 21-game losing streak on top of a 15-game losing streak before that this year. You got to take responsibility. That's what professional sports is about.
Wow.
See, the guy still has his fastball.
That's really good stuff.
He still has his fastball.
Is that true? They have never won a playoff series except for the year they won the World Series? That's quite something. So 93 when they lost the ALCS, we were still pre-wild card? Yeah, I think we were. So they've never won a playoff series other than the year they won the World Series.
Seems impossible.
It does.
They've been around a long time.
Long time.
That seems impossible. Well, all right. So, you know, that's the good and the bad, maybe, of the dog?
The good and the bad of the dog.
Yeah. Pretty incredible.
I enjoy the bad more than the good.
Yeah, me too. They were both solid, though.
Yeah, they were.
Dave Wannstedt has football thoughts, as always. How frustrated would he be with Nate Davis? How would he approach the preseason? If he could choose one position to be invisible, which one would be the most advantageous to a football team? Things like that with Coach next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.